Yeah. Styling, no. Dissing, but got pictures with me smiling, no. All the things you need, you still want problems, though. All the things I know, I still been silent, though. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Used to be at Silver City Indigo. Oh. Used to be in lunchroom playing dominoes.
Party over here.
I don't wanna have to go to funerals.
Party over there.
What up, though? iHeartMiko podcast. Today is July 12th, 2018. Happy birthday, Lil Duval.
Happy birthday.
My little nigga. What up, though? This is Tuesday. We were supposed to record Sunday. Then you had to handle some business. Then last night we tried to record and my signal in my house was so bad it wasn't picking up. The Wi-Fi was just trash. So here we are Tuesday trying it again. You will probably get this on Wednesday. So since Tuesday night, it's 10 o'clock at night in sunny California. Yeah, I had planned on starting the podcast from my house, doing it from there. Now it looks like I might be seeing Mike more often here at Moosecast Studio. Shout out to Mike for pulling through for me last minute so that I could record.
Shout out to Mike.
But for those of you that don't know, this is my friend RJ. RJ has been on the podcast before, so we brought him back. Hopefully he won't be eating these fucking cookies the whole goddamn, look, sucking his teeth and shit. Oh my God. I got a real nigga on here today.
Coming to talk some real nigga shit.
Oh God, here we go. So I know that everybody knows, I feel like I've been trying to low-key avoid talking about the fact that the Cavs got swept. So I'm finally going to address that situation. We're going to talk about football. Mini camp has started for a lot of teams today. We'll talk about what's going on in the NFL, what's going on in the NBA, where LeBron may go. A little bit of everything. Drew League. I want everybody to know that I've had a situation with the Drew League where I'm going to be interviewing the player of the week every week from the Drew League. And so I think I know who got it today. Do you know who got it today?
No, who got it?
So he's going to be on my podcast next week. I think it's Chris Johnson, player of the week. Chris Johnson, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 3 blocks.
Okay, Johnson.
Frank Nitti had 37, 4 and 4. He was a top performer. And also Isaac Hamilton had 41, 6 and 3. So one of them three I'm going to have on the podcast next week, and I'll be doing that for every Drew League player of the week for the remainder of the summer. Something I'm adding to the podcast. I would like for everyone to get to know the Drew League and what it's about. They have an amazing foundation that I want everybody to support as well. So I'll have Dino, one of the founders of the Drew League, on as well. I wanted to shout out my listeners who recommended me going to his house to donate the TVs that we had. I went to his house. I got a tour of that place and it's pretty amazing. Like, I think it's really good. And we're going to be doing some stuff with them in the future, as well, some charitable things with them. If you want to catch me talking some bullshit, I was on Slightly Confrontational this week. Did you catch a glimpse of that? Did you see it on my snap? I was on this ESPN show. Yeah, ESPN. Miko Grimes was on ESPN.
No,
talking shit. Talking shit. It's called, the show's called Slightly Confrontational. I had a link up on my page, but if you find them on Instagram, you'll be able to see them, and they're on iTunes as well. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of shit. Up first, we're going to talk with Omar Kelly about the NFL minicamp and the Dolphins and the holdouts and T.O. and all that stuff. So stick with us, and we'll be right back. Okay, so our first guest. Is my ex? Oh, I need to let you know. This is my ex-husband, Omar Kelly. Is my ex-husband. He's my ex-radio husband.
Oh, okay.
When I did radio in Miami, we did a show together. It was really the Omar Kelly show. I just came and bombarded it. But Omar Kelly, welcome to the iHeartMiko podcast once again.
Thank you for having me. And it was not the Omar Kelly show. It started out that way, and we were doing it together for a year. So.
Yes.
And then I remember the very day that you got your name in the show.
It was a special day. I remember you took a picture of me and everything. It was cute. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. But welcome. This is my friend RJ. He's one of my friends from out here from LA. We do a lot of trash talking and sports and everything. So I've had him on once before, and a lot of people hated his opinion on things. So I figure, you know, we would just have him on again and just see, you know, if he got any better at this sports talk, you know.
Hey, listen, I love all my haters. I love all my haters.
Oh my God. But okay, yeah. So Omar, so let's talk. Today was a big day for you, wasn't it? Big day, big day. First day of mini camp for 2018. I know you were busy working today. How was the temperature down in South Florida? How's my favorite quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, doing? What's up with these Dolphins this year?
The temperature was hot. It's super hot. They actually had mini camp last week.
Oh, they did?
Today is their final. OTAs, you know, why they had a mini camp a week before they did OTAs, it really doesn't matter to me because I've been out there for 10 years. It all looks the same to me.
Oh, okay.
Training camp, OTAs, mini camp, it's all the same thing. Ryan Tannehill, he's healthy. He's moving around well. He's athletic. Seemingly
so
still
he got athletic all of a sudden? Because he was not athletic before. Knock it off.
I mean, he when I say athletic, I mean he moves well. Now we're not talking about Cam Newton, Russell Wilson type movement, but he's actually moving around in the pocket a little bit better. I think they've solidified the interior of the offensive line. Finally, I've only been begging for it for like 4 years.
Oh, so you're happy with this year's offensive line? So this, because you've never been happy before. Like, I don't recall you ever really being happy. So you're saying you're going to be happy with this year's offensive line before the season starts?
Probably not, because I'm watching the tackles get tore up. Now it's OTAs, but I mean, Juwan James is, you know, Cam Wake is lively in practice, which usually just isn't the case. You know, obviously he's probably pushing for another year's extension on his contract, so I can understand it. The old man wants to prove he's not old. And then Robert Quinn, you know, he looks pretty good. So, you know, they've got a very strong defensive end unit. But, you know, they've always got a strong defensive end unit. Then the season comes, they only produce 30 sacks. So, you know.
You're just not sold yet because you've been catfished before.
No. Oh, I've been catfished so many times. I'm not buying that. I'm like, oh, we're going to have a defensive line. And when the season starts, all you see is trash on offense. And then a defense that can't get to the quarterback.
Salty.
Big before.
Okay, so I know you heard about the shenanigans of Jarvis Landry and Mike Pouncey. I'm not sure if there was anyone else, but these two players have gone to their new teams, and there has been a little bit of shade thrown at Ryan Tannehill. Do you think that this is just like a scorned ex, or do you think that this is a result of players finally being able to say something that they've been wanting to say, and something that I already said a few years ago?
I don't think it's scorn X from this standpoint, right? You know, no. If I'm scorned, I had mentioned you by name, or I'm specific about it. You know, Mike Pouncey basically said it's always been exciting to be with an elite level quarterback. Well, it's no shock that, you know, Philip Rivers is an elite level quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is not, you know, and Jarvis, I can totally understand why he's salty when you've been lied to by an organization, when you've been misled by an organization, when they put out, you know, bad stories and false rumors about you and try to discredit you to lower your value, you know, or try to keep you hostage. Yeah, I'm going to be pissed too. And I'm some real, you know, and to me, the way I explain to Dolphin fans are, you know, Jarvis and you know, Mike, those are two alpha males.
Right.
And they're alpha males in that Dolphins locker room. Well, those are two alpha males. And unfortunately, you know, when you piss an alpha male, that's somebody who's going to ride or die, right? They're going to be in line to fight for you. Now, when you piss them off, though, And when you treat them with disloyalty, shank you in the side, aren't they? That to me is what they've done. Both individuals were lied to by the organizations. Both individuals were mistreated by the organization. Whether the Dolphin fans want to acknowledge it, admit it, testify, and now that they're with somebody else who treats them probably the way that they deserve for now, because you know the NFL is very temporary. They might be throwing a little bit of salt.
But is this true salt or is this lies? Like, do you think that either of them are telling their truth? Meaning,
neither one of them have ever told you once that Ryan Tannehill is dope.
Right.
None of them. Now that's not privately. I mean, that's not publicly, and that's not private. None of them have ever said Ryan Tannehill is going to take us to the mountaintop. Like, oh, they've always said we could win with this quarterback, you know. But they've never said that Ryan is going to be, you know, lit great heights. And I'm at the point where, you know, I'm trying to tell Dolphin fans, if you seriously think that there's more coming, or significantly more coming, because there might be more coming, but if you think that there's significantly more coming, you're delusional. You've seen them for 6 years.
Like, yeah.
What exactly?
That's what I wanted to ask you about, now, too. This is year seven that you're rolling into. And every year, it's always like next year is going to be the year for this guy. How many more years do you think Dolphins fans and the organization is going to give Ryan Tannehill before they make a move into another direction?
Two. No, and my that number is because, one, the financial commitment is there for next year after you restructured his deal and gave him that big old cash check just so that you can get some cap space. And then, you know, in my theory, the new coach, if things go tremendously bad next year, maybe there'll be a new coach or maybe there'll be a new GM. Mm. And then they'll want a second year with Ryan Tannehill.
Why now, even have a first year with him? You've already seen that he's not the guy. You can't take him to a Super Bowl. Why not, you know, start
to me,
over?
He's an NFL starter, and it's very hard to find an NFL
starter.
Sure,
but there's a lot of bums that can start that are starting in the NFL. It doesn't mean he's special. I put him in the bottom seven of the league.
Bottom seven?
Yeah. He's in the bottom seven.
I haven't done my QB rankings. I would say I'm just guessing he's somewhere in my mind between 17 and probably 24. I haven't done it. I haven't created the barometers to rank them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's somewhere in, you know, he's a bottom of the second, top of the third tier quarterback. And, you know, but the problem is those are still hard to find, and they're still making $20 million.
Well, the thing is, they're already with your organization. You're already milking the fans and making them believe that this is still the guy. So it's easier than going to get somebody else and saying, guess what? I lied about the last guy. So it's just easier to me. I just wonder if they're ever going to just come out and just try something else, like go out in the draft or free agency.
They tried something else, and it was Jay Cutler. And what they learned is,
well, they had to do that. He was injured.
Yeah, exactly. But looking at Jay Cutler, and I've said this to you, and I still stand by this: Jay Cutler practiced better than Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Not even a debate in my mind. I don't even think players will debate that. I don't think the coaches will debate that. But you know, when it came to the product on the field, wasn't the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that their hope is that Ryan will take his game to another level, and the product on the field will look better than it has in past years, and will look more like the final stretch of games where he was starting. Where he had 103 quarterback rating after they started.
What do you have to say, RJ? What do you want to say?
I mean, I just think the quarterback is the factor. And depending on how Tannehill play, he ain't really had a full good opportunity. It's always been an injury on his wing, or the backfield is funny. Like, I still think we got to give him one more shot. But he's a 40% chance. Like you say, he's a second tier, third tier. But I still think he, like, it's hard to replace him. Like my man say, it's hard.
I think it's pretty damn easy. I know a whole bunch of people that could replace him.
Name
he's,
two.
He's just not even.
Name two.
I mean, he's. I would take Fitzpatrick, our backup with Tampa Bay, over Ryan Tannehill.
The difference in their records? Like, in what they do and produce?
Actual skill. Fitzpatrick is an actual quarterback. He's a baller.
He can't get out that pocket.
And what does Ryan Tannehill do? He'll do when he gets out the pocket. Definitely
give me about 8 yards.
That's in clear space. Anybody can get those 8 yards Ryan Tannehill gets.
Not Patrick.
Anybody. He only runs in clear space. You ain't never seen Tannehill juke nobody.
No,
it's almost like, oh, shit, it's open right there. Let me run. Anybody can do that.
You need to stop disrespecting Texas A&M's receiver, okay?
You know why I'm a Texas A&M's receiver? Because Texas A&M had him in as a rookie. They brought him in his first year. His first year, he came in to be a quarterback. Did he not?
Yeah.
Yes. He did not make the roster. Okay, fine. And he was a freshman. A lot of people don't make it. Then the next year, he tried out for the starting quarterback position. He lost again. Then his junior year, he tried out for the starting quarterback position. He lost again. He was a receiver his junior year. The starting quarterback got hurt. They threw the nigga in there. It's no way in hell if your team respects you as quarterback that they would play you at receiver. It's no way.
True.
So don't tell me Texas A&M respected Ryan Tannehill. They hoodwinked everybody with him. Everybody. They offensive coordinator got a free ride to the NFL. It was all a scam. It was all a scam, and I didn't fall for it. I'm sorry.
It's still a continued scam.
Yes.
But you know what? You can't do better.
You can't do better right now. If you're scared, you can't do better. I like the little backup you guys got. There's a little young one. What's his name?
David Fales.
Fales.
Yeah. No.
Fales. He's all right.
Listen.
He's all right.
He's okay. He's not special.
He's okay.
But he's okay. But I'm watching Brock Osweiler, and I'm like, man.
You impressed?
Hell no.
Oh, I was about to kill you, dog.
I was about to say.
Dude, he's straight stealing money.
He's a highway robbery.
Dude, he got a mask and
ski mask way. Yeah.
Dude.
You can do it when you white.
What I love about Adam Gase, and this is, we're doing the press conference, opening up OTAs. And we're asking about Brock Osweiler, and he comes out and volunteers like, oh, they had to talk me into him. And this is a guy that he had a hand in drafting in Denver, a guy that he coached his entire career as a Denver Broncos quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. He had been with the man up until his breakout season. And he's like, nah, they had to talk me into signing him. Like I wasn't, and this is before we even watched him practice. And now that I've watched him practice, I completely understand why he did that. He volunteered this information. He did it so to distance himself and say, like, yo, this isn't a quarterback that I've groomed.
And people are embarrassed of it.
Yeah, and I could understand why. He's not a very accurate quarterback.
Look at all this money he's gotten. All this, he just really just.
Hey. If you want to make money, I mean, it's a hard position to get.
Timing is everything, too.
Yeah, that's true. Cause
timing.
It just proves that they will pay an average quarterback who's an unrestricted free agent a ridiculous amount of money, a la Kirk Cousins, who I love, by the way. So
you hating on Kirk, but we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go into good timing, bad timing. Julio Jones has decided to hold out from minicamp. And we all know why. He's got 3 years left in the deal, so people feel a way about that, saying, he has to wait another year. He feels like, no, I don't have to wait. There's people that are way worse than I am, making way more money than I am, so I'm going to put my dick on the table and see what y'all talking about upstairs, yeah, Mr. Blunt.
He got to wait. Hold on. They saying he got to wait a year or two? What's supposed his talent level declines or
exactly.
The quarterback gets injured?
Yes.
Like,
people are saying he's watching. Ungrateful. He's being greedy. He's only already had 2 years of the deal. What do you think?
To me, I was watching and I put out a tweet about Bill Polian, and who I used to have the greatest amount of respect for, and I've lost pretty much all respect for him.
What happened?
He is.
No, this is good.
He was on ESPN NFL Live, and he was talking about all the guys that are holding out or pushing for a new contract, and he's like, they have no right to sit here and demand that they have get a new contract. They're under contract. You know, if you have an issue with what's going on, you know, you have a duty to honor your contract. And I'm like, have you ever mentioned the fact that
the owners don't honor the what are you talking about? They do this to the players. You're just mad because somebody has the gumption to do it back.
Exactly. I'm like, I tweeted out, and I strongly, I'm so bothered by what he said in the stand. I mean, you got to look at the video when you get time. He's
okay.
Adamant about how disrespectful it is. And, you know, you have a problem with it, take it up with D. Smith. He signed the CBA. I'm like, these same contracts that these players are choosing to say, hey, I need to get this contract redone. Like, I just wrote a story on a guy that the Dolphins, who wasn't even on the Dolphins team, they traded for him and shook him down for $575,000.
Wow.
No reason why. Just said, you're making too much. We don't want to pay you $3 million. Let's give you a little bit of a haircut. And
wow.
Like, and this is common.
Common.
Like,
think
about the amount of players, Mike Pouncey and Dominican Sue, hell, they just, you know,
dumped them. See ya.
Lawrence Timmons, Julius Thomas. I'm just talking about Dolphins.
Brent Grimes.
Tampa Bay. Think about all the other teams where they shake down players or they fire players or they make players take pay cuts. This is the NFL. That's how y'all built. And you got the nerve to sit up here and complain about the 10 players that are underpaid and are trying to push for a new contract? Like, the nerve.
Speaking of nerve, T.O. rejects a Hall of Fame visit ceremonies. The nerve,
girl,
of my nigga. The nerve, right?
At your crib, in Cali.
You saw him in my crib? Yes.
Yeah, see.
Yes, we're going to have to talk off camera about who all was there, because everybody wasn't on camera, but we'll talk.
Okay. Listen, here's my thing, and I'm a T.O. fan, so let me put this on the record, because I'm a T.O. fan. I've made excuse after excuse for T.O. I have lobbied on behalf of T.O. saying that, okay, he wasn't the greatest guy. Okay, he was a jerk. Okay, he was a bad teammate. But he's one of the most productive players in the NFL, and he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And once you get over all your little, you need to punish him, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame because he was one of the greatest football players of our era and one of the greatest wide receivers of all times. Mm-hmm. Now, with that said, I was happy that he got inducted. I was okay with the fact that he didn't even want to participate in the induction part early when it was announced. Okay, no problem. But this is probably going to be the greatest honor of your life. It will be forever recorded. You can get up there and act like an ass like Michael Jordan did if you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But to not show up, to not participate in what could potentially be the greatest moment of your life, to turn your back on all your, and I understand you want to throw your own little thing and you want to throw your own little party, but to turn your back on all your all the fans like me who have supported you.
You ain't going, Omar. Shut the hell up. You ain't going.
No. I would watch. I don't even know who else is going into the Hall of Fame this year, but I'd watch for T.O. Now he's not even there.
What do you think? Go ahead.
Who, me?
Yeah, I cut you off. Sorry.
No, it hurt. I was hurt by the fact. And hey, you've got a right to do whatever you want to do. You're T.O., but you're just hurting the argument of all the other players who probably have this jerk reputation or who didn't kiss the media's butt. Now they can say, well, he might not even show up because, like, and he might pull a T.O. Like, that's not the standard that you want to set, especially at the highest honor of football.
Go ahead, RJ. It's Omar.
Omar.
Yes, sir.
You got your angle, your argument, which is valid, and then you have T.O. who has to stand on his own 2 feet for his good reasons. Do you agree with that? What he's doing has some, you know.
But who is he punishing?
He's punishing the panel, the NFL inductee panel, for being late on calling him up when he should have been inducted in the first ballot. So,
okay.
Right there, you know, it's a little different between going in 1, 2, or 3. With the group that's in there. Now I got to sit here and argue, and you know, T.O. and his ego.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's some clash there.
I feel like what we're all missing here is the fact that this league has pretty much tried to use T.O. in the way that they've used Colin Kaepernick. They have pretty much held him up into the crowd of players and said, look, you think you just going to march your fucking ass into the Hall of Fame when you loud and disrespectful in the league? Look what we're doing to this nigga right here. This motherfucker is one of the greatest that has ever played our game. And we going to make him wait to the third time to get in. This is a sign of disrespect, another sign of disrespect from the NFL, basically telling us that it doesn't matter if you actually have skill. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest. If you don't abide by our rules and do what the fuck we say, we're still going to be in control of things that you deserve already. He should have been a first ballot. How the fuck is he not first ballot? It's just pure disrespect. And I understand T.O.'s opinion of it, because now it's like he already was campaigning and bitching and moaning every single year, like, y'all just gonna keep skipping me? Like, you know, it got to the point where I'm sure he was like, fuck y'all, I don't even care no more. You know, and now they're like, okay, now we're gonna let you
exactly.
in here. Here, hurry, shut up, nigger. Shut up, we're letting you in now. Now he's like, suck my dick, and I completely respect it. I completely respect it. They did it when they wanted to. They're upset. T.O. has never been arrested. T.O. ain't beat no women. T.O. has just been a loudmouth, and he has produced. They do not like that T.O. took the helmet off and showed people who he was. You went against the shield. That's what this is all about, and they tried to punish him. And let me tell you something about a real fan. If you a real fan of T.O., you respect this move that he just made. You respect it, and you know that he is like, nah, nigga, nah, I'm not finna shuck and jive on that stage for y'all. That show is still about the NFL. They're making money off those tickets and those fans that are coming. So he's basically saying, no, I don't want my fans coming there for what? They never respected me. I don't, you know, fuck y'all. I don't need to make no more money off of my back. I'm done with y'all. And I respect it.
Yeah, but I here's the thing. This is going to be the greatest platform he's ever going to have to speak his piece.
He's going to do it his own way. He's going to have his own party. I'm pretty sure it'll be televised in some way. It'll get out. Social media gets everything out. Nobody cares. See what I'm saying? Nobody cares.
Here's my thing.
They wouldn't have voted for him if they had known he wasn't going to show up. You see who gives a fuck about this ceremony? If you got bitch niggas that are doing the votes, they're saying, oh, well, if I known he wasn't going to show up, I wouldn't have voted for him. This whole ceremony is a fucking scam.
It is, and you know, here's my perfect example of why being there is important. Like, I had to do a story on Jason Taylor, and I put in Google, and instantly his Hall of Fame stuff comes up number one. The minute you click on something, his speech comes up. I mean, this is in history now. This is like this. Jason Taylor is a Hall of Famer. Nobody can ever change that. And he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he probably didn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he did everything right. He played the right game. He marketed the league the way he was supposed to, Dancing with the Stars, all that stuff. Even T.O. did Dancing with the Stars. Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying. It'll never be good enough for the people he's got to ass kiss to get into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. And he didn't ass kiss, but they eventually put him in there. But let's not act like there hasn't been other wide receivers who are worthy of being first ballot Hall of Fame inductees who did not get in the first ballot.
Like, they weren't better than T.O. Not one of them. Not a single one.
Not one of them.
Not a single one. So you can't bring them up. So don't bring them up. You got to bring up somebody that was first ballot that deserved to go there and didn't go. If they wasn't, they cannot
Mike
compare.
Michael Irvin
was couldn't hold T.O.'s jock strap. Couldn't. Sorry.
He got, anyway.
That's why he's salty. That's why he talking shit, too. That's why I'm glad my nigga T.O. said he was going to send us some powdered donuts. Get your nose candy fuckhead ass out of here. I hate the players from the past that they get the lapel and they get on TV and have to shuck and jive for the NFL once again because they fucked their checkup.
You know you got to shuck and jive.
Yeah,
you know
they fucked the checkup, so now you got to work for the NFL. You got to do this show. So now you can't be, like, real. You can't be like, yeah, you know, I can understand. You know, I wish I could have been able to do what T.O. did and talk my shit when I played. Like, he wishes he could have did what T.O. did. He wishes on his career, and he which is as far as just emotionally and how T.O. touched the game.
Come on.
T.O. fans. T.O. got passionate fans. Yeah, but T.O. got real nigga passionate fans because he was a real nigga when he played.
True. But he also has a reputation as one of the worst teammates ever in the history of the NFL.
Sometimes them the best niggas. Them the niggas that need the ride at AAU. The niggas at AAU, the best niggas, always need a ride, and they always bad. The bad kids. But they can fucking hoop. They can play. So you got to deal with them. Everybody ain't going to be perfect. You know, you got racist motherfuckers in the locker room, too. Everybody deal with their shit, too. You just got to deal. It's a family. You deal with everybody's bullshit. But you can't never question his heart. You can't ever question his work ethic, any of that. So that should count for something.
No doubt. No question about what you're saying. This is the first time we've ever seen anything like that. And
I love it.
I'm just disappointed. I'm disappointed because I want to see him. I'm curious. I'm dying to know what the hell T.O. That was the only reason I would watch it. And now I understand your point of why he didn't want to attend because, you know, why are you going to give the NFL that shine?
Mm.
But because you already in, they can't take it back. So
yeah, you in now. I'm in. Baller. I got the jacket.
That's all.
I'm gonna have the bus.
That's all you cared about.
I'm not coming to y'all monkey show. Y'all made me wait all this time, and
that
nigga.
But listen, just admit that's like in the Petty Hall of Fame.
Oh God, that is legendary. That's Lord level petty. You a Lord. That's Lord level petty. That nigga, he got the glow when he put that fucking announcement out that he wasn't coming. I imagine him had like the Bruce Leroy glow when he was talking. That nigga was like, I will not be coming to your bullshit ass event. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Randy Moss in this one too?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Look how, another real one. And Randy Moss, you see what he did. You see he had to shuck and jive to get this job. He had to reel himself in.
Oh, yeah, he on TV. He's shucking and jiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, T.O. never conformed to it. That's why they don't fuck with him. That's why
of all leagues, you know, you got to shuck and jive in the NFL. It's just a reality. Even media members, shit, you got to shuck and jive. Mm-hmm. You want to be a Hall of Fame? I've never been asked to be a Hall of Fame voter. You know, you want to know why Armando's a Hall of Fame voter? Because he shucks and jives.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fuck, I can't stand that big pork chop eating bitch. I'm mad you even just said his name. But anyways, I'm going to let you go, Omar, because I know it's late over there on the West. I'm on the East Coast. But I appreciate you joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Please let everyone know how they can see you on social media.
You can find me at Omar Kelly. Just my name, Omar Kelly with one E.
I don't even know why that was even a one E. Because Kelly, you should have said with a Y.
Or with a Y instead of an E.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly with a Y. Anyways, doesn't matter. Thank you for joining me. I know you're about to go have a little vacation time. Anywhere you planned before training camp? Anything going on?
I'm just trying to do something locally. You know, I'm got to pay for that wedding, so I'm trying to be a little bit conservative.
Oh God, yeah, that wedding. Yeah. Blessings to you, my brother.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
All right, I'll holler at you later. All right, peace. That was Omar Kelly, my ex radio husband. I appreciate him coming on. Thanks for hopping in there for a second.
I mean, I hop in where I can.
You hopped in. I appreciate that. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to finally get off this fucking finals. I've been silent about the finals.
Coming to get your ass, Durant. I'm coming to.
He wants to talk some Kevin Durant trash. We're going to talk about where LeBron may end up and everything NBA and some more shenanigans, because I got some personal questions to ask you too. So we'll be right back in 1 second. Shout out to Omar Kelly for joining us once again. I love having him on the show. Always a good dude and always keeping it real. I'm so upset that I forgot to ask him about this, but I feel like now I can ask you about it. Did you see those Jay-Z and Beyonce pictures? You didn't see them?
No, on the bed?
Yes, the naked pictures. And what the fuck was that about?
Boredom.
Boredom?
Yeah, he ain't done every other pose. I mean, it's just, you what? Get to that point, man. When you get to that, you ain't there. You got to understand their position.
What is their position? Jay-Z's bell pepper ass nose was staring at me. That shit was staring at me, my nigga. Like, I was so uncomfortable looking at him. I was like, what the fuck is that? Why is his hair like this? Why is he holding her like this? Like, what the fuck was that about?
I think he was thinking, I need to take a picture of this badass bitch.
Why don't you just let
with
her
me laid up on the bed so niggas don't think I'm lying. I took this picture so niggas don't think that I'm lying.
But
dude,
I'm saying, he looked so awful. Beyonce looked amazing as usual. But he looked trash. The pose when she has her feet curled up.
She looks sexy. She set it off. With that baby waistline. Listen, he got purpose behind this picture. Y'all,
what's the purpose then? Tell me the purpose.
I don't want y'all to think I was lying when I was telling y'all I laid up with this type of bad bitch.
We know, though.
That's what this picture signified.
But we already knew that.
No, a lot of people don't know this.
What we didn't know is how ugly y'all look next to each other. And now you've just...
She make him look good.
No, she doesn't. She makes him look awful.
She's so sexy.
She makes him look way worse than he actually looks. It's so bad. And I just feel like even when they started the tour, you know how they have that picture of them standing up and they're holding hands. She got her bomb ass, you know, tight, damn near butt naked outfit on. He got the white outfit on. He looks homeless. He looks like a homeless man standing next to her.
Yes, he does. Of course, it's Beauty and the Beast, though. We understand the situation. We understand that. So you don't look at this like how he's looking in the picture. Listen, the focus is her.
No, but he took the focus from her.
No way.
He should have been hiding more. Like, it should have been like just his hand on her ass. That's it. All we needed to see was his hand. Like, that's Jay-Z's hand. On the small waisted picture, it should have just been Jay-Z's hand, not the rest of him. Nothing else. Put your hand right there. He should have put a mask on. Because this Beauty and the Beast is driving. This thing was ugly. And I don't understand why they thought this was okay. I don't get it. Like, what part of them said, this is cool, we should roll with this? There was nobody that they showed this to first that was like, yo, I think this is a bad idea. You rolling with this. You think this was cool?
No, I just think he got purpose behind the picture. It's what? Purpose. It's bragging rights. It's a lot of this is mine.
You just gave us so many flames at you. Like, we already knew you was weak looking. Like, we already knew you was the weak look of the relationship.
So this is what I'm letting you know I'm capable of because my raps are so cold.
Yeah.
This is what it equals.
It definitely wasn't because of your looks. We get that. Okay. We know.
So respect it.
Respect it.
A lot of cats can't do it.
Oh my God.
I mean, listen, I'm just playing devil's advocate for the dude because he's not here.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, I wanted to talk to you about Ronda Rousey going into the Hall of Fame. She caught a little backlash because people were trying to dog her because she kind of left the sport abruptly and went to the WWE and did some acting and almost made it as if like it was like a stepping stone to where she's trying to get, as opposed to like the biggest thing that's ever happened to her in her life. Do you, first of all, feel that Ronda Rousey deserves the respect of being the first woman into this Hall of Fame? Or do you feel like, you know, she was just a small piece of what this sport's going to do for women?
I think she's, based on, I ain't seen enough of her work for me to say that she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think she's done enough. She's been hot for about a year and then got knocked out.
Rhonda kind of climbed a lot of the shame that comes with her is they kind of made her the princess of the sport. You know, they rose her up past a lot of people, even though she wasn't as talented. And she was kind of like the belle of this whole ball that is the women's elevation of UFC and MMA fighting. Right. And so a lot of her competitors and the girls she fought against, they were offended that she rose so fast and she got crowned so fast. And then she was just like, all right, peace. Now that everybody's figured out I really can't box low-key. Like, she's a great talent, but she can't box and got exposed. You know, a lot of people were just like, she didn't stay in the sport long enough to like continue to get better. She just was like, fuck it. But I say she kind of brought me to the sport. She introduced me to the sport. I never even cared to watch until I heard about Ronda Rousey. And for whatever that's worth, I imagine that's why she's in the Hall of Fame, because she brought dollars to the industry.
And that's what it's about today. Else.
Yeah. She brought dollars. She brought me. I'm paying. I never paid per-view MMA or UFC. Never, ever until I heard her name, till I saw her. And I was like, oh, it's a bad bitch doing it? Like, let me see. You know, and they marketed her very well. And so I feel like she is talented. She wasn't the best, you know, she was the best at some point. But she was dethroned quickly because she has a lot of holes in her game. But I just feel like overall she deserves to be there just for the fact that she brought money to the industry. And that's why everybody should just let her have this.
So you do agree she should get it?
Yeah, I do. I do. I it's not like she sucked. She actually was talented. You know,
I feel like she got exposed on that knockout.
She definitely did. She got She got exposed a lot.
She got exposed a lot, which kind of show like she might have been fighting some busters. And that seemed to be like contagious in a few sports, which we will get into a little later.
Oh, God. Here we go. Let's go ahead and get into it, motherfucker. Let's go. So I've been putting off talking about the Cavs being swept. Okay. I can't act like I'm surprised, even though I wanted something different. This reminds me of 2016 when everybody was saying what LeBron couldn't do. And I was like, bullshit. And so for me, it was more like, why give up on him? Why not ride this ride with him? You know what I'm saying? If he says we're going to do it, we're going to do it. And then what I noticed is in game three is when I kind of fell off the ship a little bit. And I was just like, I just felt like he wasn't giving me what I needed. You know, there was a lot of passes in the last few minutes of the game where he should have taken over the games. You know, Steph Curry was on him a couple times. You know, Kevin Durant was on fire and he didn't go over and try to put out the flames. Like, for me, I know everybody's switching these screens and all this stuff, but if you really don't want to switch, you don't have to. You really don't have to. You can fight over that and you can stall that and you can get that matchup if you want to. And I just felt LeBron was just like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm fucking tired of this shit. I feel like he didn't give up. He just conceded and didn't put any more effort into it. So now we're hearing that he had a broken hand and people are saying there's two sides of this. He should have kept it to himself because now it looks like he's making an excuse for why he didn't win a game, why he got swept. Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
I'm for LeBron in a sense that he's over there fighting by himself. So it's not a fair match. You can't look at the game like LeBron is lacking. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Because he put into so much during the game that towards the end of the game, he's pooped. So it's not a fair argument to really look at him like, oh, you're not bringing this to the table or you're not doing this game. He always seemed to bring 30-plus and cover two other categories.
Yes.
And possibly three other categories. That's the steal category. So he do a lot every game. So if you was to give him some pieces, like even remotely close. And when I say remotely close.
Some workable pieces.
Some workable pieces, because you got 30, 30, 30 you facing. Golden State is giving you 30 from the wing, 30 from the top, and 30 from the other wing. On any given night, that scoring rate is not matchable on any team in the NBA. which make it not competitive.
Yeah, you got Steph Curry 33.
I mean,
Durant 26. Like this is just it was an ass whooping. It was like a legit ass whooping. It's what I feel like the Warriors should do all year with that type of
true
starting lineup and that bench. Right. You know, it's not even the starting lineup. They got fucking dogs and horses coming off the bench. You know, they just have a great overall team. You know, their only main weakness is turnovers, and that's really because you got so many motherfuckers to pass it to. They fuck up, you know. But they're just a great team, ran well. You know, the most selfish player on the team is probably Durant, and, you know, he's the new nigga or whatever. But it's like, you know, they were just a great team. The sweep happened. There's nothing I can do about it. People think that I hate the Warriors. I don't hate the Warriors. I mean, it's my job to hate on them during the playoffs because I'm a sports fan. That's just naturally what you do. Like, I'm not stupid. I understand, like, the Warriors are fucking everything. And I would want every single player on their team, I would love for them to be on the Cavs. All of them. Right. I'll take all of them with LeBron any day of the week. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a Cavs fan. So I have to, you know, say fuck them every now and then. And I hate them motherfuckers. And I hope, you know what I'm saying? Just shit talking. Yeah, right. But it's not personal. It's not like I really think my team's better than them. I never thought that the whole season.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, shout out to the champs. Shout out to them. That's three rings for them. You know, if that team stays together, which is looking like they probably will, they're going to continue this reign. And so now the question I have, well, before we even get into where LeBron's going, let's back up a little bit and let's have a moment, because I know you wanted to say some things about Kevin Durant, that the people are upset that Durant is currently beating on his chest and talking all this I'm the best shit when he came to a 73-9 team that had already won a championship that beat him.
Right.
He had down 3-1. And so he joined the team, which I feel like if you want to join a team, then it's free agency. By golly gee, do what the fuck you want to do. This is your life. This is your career. You worked hard to get here. But a lot of people are saying that there's asterisk marks by all of his shit from now on because he joined that team. What is your opinion of the move?
Which is true.
It's true. Talk about it.
Okay, so.
Talk about it.
There's about two or three topics that speak on Durant. And that's one, him being a number one or number two player.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to produce and want to compete on the number one, two level. And if you look at the history of basketball, all one, two arguments that was coming up, if you went either with Magic and Bird or or you want to go with Michael Jordan versus Magic, when they competed against each other to beat each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Durant joined a team that already, like you said, certified themselves. So the credit isn't there. There's a problem. There's a problem with giving you full credit when we watched you have your own dynasty with pieces around you. We could all agree that OKC had pieces around them and you just didn't win. But to be loud, my thing is, it's about you being loud. You can
that's
celebrate.
Really was offending you?
Yeah, it's something about you being loud when you had opportunities to have your own team, your own, no shadow. He's the Robin of this series. It's not always about
the
points.
But he's going to say he got the MVP.
Right, right. Like I said, so like I was about to say, it's not always about the points because he can have 30, 40 a night. But when it mattered in clutch moments, everybody was looking at what Curry was doing, where Curry was on the floor. It was times where you didn't even know if Durant was out there, though he was. You could go through about 5-7 minutes where you don't even feel if Kevin is out there. So it's a lot of arguments in this when you're talking about KD being this and being that after we watched him play on other teams with not so much power and he couldn't soar. And I'm talking about he at least knock at the championship door, sniff the Western Conference Finals, which you did, and you quit. And jumped on the wagon with this team. Listen, you still
you feel
my boy.
Way about that.
He's still my boy. Like, we played together to Drew and did all. We cool, but he understands that I'm gonna give it to him cold cut. And I see it for what it is. And I come from the 80s, 90s. And like Gary Payton said, this era is not better than the 80s, 90s era. And it's not because he played in that era. You had 4 to 5 all-star possible players on 9 to 10 different teams out the league. So that's how much competing you had to do to get through to a championship. Now, if we was to compare how many good players there are today compared to what Peyton is saying, we couldn't find it. So that goes to show you the competitive level and what you got to fight to get to a certain level. It's not there, so it's hard to give credit.
I don't agree with that. Let me say this. CJ McCollum said, call me whatever y'all want. KD's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever. Whether he would have went to Golden State or not, I just would rather see him on another team. And he put LOL, he still shouldn't have gone there. A lot of the players feel like he shouldn't have gone there. And he feels like, I don't give a fuck, like what y'all saying. He thinks going to that team actually made him better. Like made him.
No, you know what it is? It's the chemistry of the fact that when you got better players on wings at each position, it opens up the floor for you to work one-on-one with less help. That's just how LeBron mm-hmm. was getting packed on the box, because the focus was on him, because we didn't have to worry
about
Klay Thompson sitting in the corner who could shoot wide open, and a Curry coming off the wing, and a Draymond slashing, or a Hugungus center, what's the name, coming for lobs on the back door. It's just so many options. So if you're not paying attention to the fact that when you got better players, it opens up the floor, that doesn't make you a better player. It just makes it easier for you to get off whatever you need.
Yeah, so you the first person to really talk to me about what's this tricky handle of Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I never really knew what I wanted to call it, but what I used to always say is he had the same move.
The left, all the right.
All he did, the left, the right, the pull up.
Because he long.
Yeah.
So that's really like 3 steps to your one. And that's what I mean by talent and height is 2 different things. And it's not that he's talented. He has a height advantage. So whenever you pull up and make a shot from elbow, it's the defender is there. His height is the difference. Which you should use. I mean, that's smart. But where's the credit when you got players 6'6", guarding 6'5", and they doing the same moves and making the shot? It got to be something. It got to be a difference there, because the fight and the competition is different. The level is different.
I think that Kevin Durant is very talented. I feel like he obviously worked hard, because it doesn't matter how tall you are, you still have to make the shot. When you take the shot, you know, it doesn't just go in because you're taller than everybody else, you know. So he obviously put in a lot of work, you know, tremendous jump shooter, tremendous talent. My problem with him continually trying to say he's the best player in the game is quite simply because you're not, because you have a lot of holes in your game that if you weren't 7 foot tall, wouldn't be there, you know? And to be the best player in the game, to me, you have to have a total package. And he doesn't have the total package. He's not LeBron James. And that's, LeBron James is the best player. Yeah,
he's too light. I said that from the beginning.
He can't even get to the hole, like, for real. You know, right. He doesn't really handle the ball well enough to get to the hole. And then a lot of people feel LeBron doesn't handle the ball well either. But LeBron has the downhill speed and the ability to finish with contact. Durant can't do any of that. Mm-mm. You know, it's just not there. And, you know, he has a better jump shot than LeBron, you know, but at the same time, he can't really check the same people that LeBron can check. So it's just, to me, it's like pick your poison. You know, but if you're talking about overall game, if you just tally it all up, LeBron's just an overall better player than anybody in the league. And it's year 15 and he doesn't look like he's slowing down at all. You know, he's just continuing to add things to his game. And he's still going to the finals with bums by himself. He just threw the whole package of bums on his back and said, fuck it, we headed to the finals and let's see what happens. And then he realized when he got there, he knew what he had. He knew he didn't have what he needed. You know, right. He doesn't even have a Robin. He doesn't have a Robin, you know. He needs Kyrie. He needs somebody else. Yeah. You can't battle the Warriors that long, you know.
It was over when Kyrie left.
Yeah.
It was over.
Yeah, they just never really, you know, and I'm disgusted with them getting rid of Dwayne Wade. Like, that just hurt me to my soul. I never understood that move.
Dwayne could have gave them.
Yeah, he could have gave them something, especially off the bench. That's what they really needed. When LeBron needed to take those minutes off, they needed somebody that can continue to score, continue to put pressure on the opposing team's defense until he came back in and, you know, had his way with them. But it just didn't work out. Congratulations to the Warriors. Fuck all y'all still, though. But I'm ready to move on from the topic of the championship officially. Now I want to know, where do you think LeBron is going?
If he want to win a championship, he got to go to Houston. Just to even out Durant's move, because you already seen that the team was a super team. They would have went to the finals had they not had the injury with Chris Paul. So
you're saying the Rockets would have beat the Warriors in that series?
They're the closest next team.
Do you really think the Rockets would have beat the Warriors in that series?
Definitely with Chris Paul in there. Listen, what was the final? And add Chris Paul points. Hold on. What was the final score?
We can all assume this or hope or say, but I still feel like the Warriors were the better team, period.
Hey, listen.
And they would have found a way to win.
Listen, no. I didn't see that.
We've seen nothing but the opposite from Harden and Chris Paul. We've seen them both fail, flop, and not get it done.
We've seen all that. But this series,
We saw Chris Paul. No. I did not see James Harden. He was a no-show. James Harden was not the James Harden that we were waiting for. Chris
Paul. He could have had a bad game.
Now, Chris Paul, you put the goddamn cape on
lucky
in that
doodle.
Series. Okay, lucky, whatever you want to call it. He was the only reason.
Let's keep it a buck.
He was the only reason that that series tied up the way that it did. Chris Paul played incredibly amazing.
Yeah, that double pump three-pointer.
It doesn't matter. It went in.
Yeah.
It went in.
But let's say that, though. The double pump three-pointer. Yeah,
we can say it multiple times.
Yeah, don't touch it.
The shit went in. Yeah. He hit so many big shots. So many big shots to get them.
Up and under three, too.
So many big shots. Not just those. There were some two-pointers as well. Clutch free throws.
The one where he slipped at the elbow.
Yeah,
he threw it up and it went in on net.
Yo, he was really doing exactly what was needed, because Harden kind of fell into a stupor that we know happens to him. He doesn't show up a lot of times. And Chris Paul showed up,
then
eventually got injured. That happens to him a lot as well. That's a questionable thing for the rest of his career, you know? Is he going to be able to handle 82 games and then making it to June without being injured? Because now this is a thing.
Age.
You know? Yeah, so I don't think that LeBron would go there. Like, why?
So what we're going to do is pace Chris next year, just like they're doing Parker over there, pacing him and putting him in just, you know, for the right game. He'll be there for the next playoff run.
I feel like LeBron is probably going to want to build his own team. Go somewhere else.
Ain't too many. Look, you got 76ers because you got the two young, talented kids with LeBron experience. Then they're going to probably pull a few pieces over there that could shoot or not. Put a defender there because LeBron is aging.
But you're still talking about, like for example, the Rockets. We're talking about Chris Paul and James Harden, who are ball heavy. And then you bring LeBron in, who brings the ball up. Now you're talking about Philadelphia, where you have a Simmons, who is ball heavy. You know, who's
LeBron
coming?
LeBron ain't ball heavy. He ball heavy when he have to be ball heavy.
No, LeBron is ball heavy in crucial moments of the game, and that's what your point guard is for. Ben Simmons has proven that he cannot shoot, so why would he even be on the starting lineup if he's not on the ball the whole game? What's the purpose?
Because they both would, they go 50-50 with the ball. The ball ain't going to stay in nobody's hands, depending on what system you go
Ben to. Ben Simmons cannot shoot the ball. LeBron needs to be surrounded by people that can shoot. He needs one guy that can create on his own. The other guys need to be able to shoot spot-up jump shots, because he's going to continue to give people open shots.
That? Who's
going to
create?
That's why I say he's got to create his own team again. You got to start over.
But who's that second help that you think creates on a level that's going to
advance him? Dame Lillard.
Dame Lillard. But who going to go where?
I don't know. I don't
that's
know.
A lot of moving.
It's a lot of moving gonna happen. But that's what I'm saying. Tough. I think he's gonna make some moves happen. I really feel like LeBron.
Is Lillard contract up?
No, it's gonna have to be a trade situation. So they want to get rid of him or CJ anyway. And I feel like it's Lillard that's gonna be the one that has to go.
He's gonna have to do something to become a star. Yeah, and make something happen.
Yeah, so I feel like that's who we should get. I like Kemba Walker so much.
I don't.
I like him.
I like him in his college. Game. I just like him.
Like his game. He's a sniper.
He's been quiet. He's
a problem. He's just because the team he's on, they stink.
Yeah, I
they
know.
Stink. I wish when they were doing all that trading with the Cavs, I wish they would have winning at him instead of the nigga from Utah. What was his name? Rodney Hood. Ugh. Yeah. Anyways, but I feel like LeBron's going to start his own team. I'm thinking Lakers just because why not LA? Why the fuck not?
I don't think he has
why
that.
Not?
It's his age when what he's about coming his age? In. You got to be a little bit more younger and have enough energy to carry this Laker land.
No, we're going to do some trades. What are you talking about? He's too old.
Meaning he's going to need better, stronger help.
Yes.
Where is he?
I feel like the Lakers have pieces.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it, you know, what you really need is a pretty decent bench. What you focus on is your starters. He needs to focus on getting him a Robin. That's what would be the first thing that he would need to do. After that, you need you a deadly spot-up shooter, a nigga that can knock it down and play some defense.
Specialist.
You
know?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you need you a big man.
A defender.
You need you a big man, yeah, a rim protector. You know, a big man that can guard, you know, another solid big man.
Him and DeAndre.
Jordan?
Take the Clippers.
I'm off him.
Take the Clippers. Take the Clippers and add.
Anything that what's the coach name?
Clippers is cursed.
What's the coach name? Yeah. What's the coach name of the Clippers?
Doc.
Anything Doc Rivers involved in, I'm off it. I'm cool. He's not in the right mind. He's not in the right mind. I'm cool on him.
He's been through a lot.
I think LeBron's going to probably build his own team.
Where?
LA. Go to LA. Go to LA. Do you think that this sweep ruins LeBron's legacy? Does it ruin the who's better, Jordan or LeBron discussion?
Nope. Looking at this dynasty team that they created that nobody can match up against. Ain't nothing to scar when you playing against this team and you have nothing to fight with. This is weak.
Yeah. I think it's disrespectful.
It's just weak.
I think it's just another thing for people to say to try to hate on him, to just be like, oh, he got swept. You know what, Kobe and the Lakers got swept. I recall that happening as well. Nobody wants to remember that.
But Kobe didn't face no team like this.
Yeah, he never faced no team like this. Ever. Ever. And I feel like it's just people continuing to hate on LeBron. They really are upset that he's this great and he's doing all the things that he's doing. Like, I feel like, why do so many people hate on him?
Because so many people like him.
And these are Jordan's kids. Jordan raised all these niggas. All these bitches is Jordan's sons and Kobe's sons. And so they can't believe, you know, the Kobe fans are upset because LeBron came into the league and pretty much knocked him out of the GOAT discussion. You know, he was always trying to be compared to Jordan, which he was never better than Jordan. And now it's almost like now here comes another guy and he's like, fuck, now I got to fucking go at this motherfucker to be the GOAT.
Right.
He's not. He's just Kobe's not in the GOAT discussion whatsoever. And it's not to say Kobe ain't a fucking legend. He's a great basketball player.
He's a tricky great.
What do you call a tricky great? Describe. Tell my listener what tricky great
listen.
Is.
Tricky great is somebody who's great at what they do, but it's tricky things that has occurred in a career. Like 0-14 and a half. Getting beat by 40 in a championship at the time of being the greatest, considered the greatest. Can't get past first round playoffs without a dominant center. Stuck behind arguing with Nash. And if they didn't call that timeout that Nash did call, which is tricky. See how the tricky? It's a lot of things. He a tricky great. He hit the elbow shot, but you know, none of that should have went down. But we could get into that another day. But you know.
Listen. I wanted to have a couple of other people on to talk with us about some things, and we was going to get into some banter, but a lot of people just didn't even show up tonight. I understand because my timing was off, my dates was off, everything was all fucked up. So I don't even feel like I'm just going to throw the whole thing away. And we're going to just end the episode with the Tricky Greats. We got a tricky handle. We got a tricky great.
And a tricky system.
And a tricky. Oh, God. Let's get, before we even get out of here. Before we even get out of here. Yes. Let's get this off one more time. So you were telling me that the NBA was rigged. How do you feel now? How do you feel now that there was a sweep? You told me that LeBron was going to win a couple games because it had to. You said one or two because it had to go that way because that's how it has to be. And also, so now a sweep has happened.
But regardless, at the end of this whole argument, my thing is the system is staged because we knew that Golden State was going to win. Now, to argue, well, they won one or swept.
You said LeBron got to the finals because it was staged. You said
It's definitely staged for him to get to the finals.
So you're trying to tell me that you're trying to tell me that Indiana and Toronto and Boston colluded to allow LeBron James to get to the finals?
Every year. This is a story that the NBA is writing. You think that they're going to have the Pacers pop him in his big book towards the end of his career? It's just certain things that's not going to happen. Then ain't nobody buying no beer at the bar to watch no Boston versus Golden State. Like, listen, it's a system. I told you, and LeBron, he's the face of the league. Mm-hmm. He can't go home against Boston with no chance. Now, Boston with that action, that beating Golden State, it's easy that they would have allowed him to get popped. But because it's a history and a story behind that, they didn't play them already. We got a 1-1, you know, coming into the third. This was just a build up to the.
I can understand you saying that the NBA, the league, will be colluding to do something like this, but you're talking about players. You're talking about guys that want a championship, that want a ring, that would not sit back and take a dive. You told me that they was missing the shots in Boston on purpose so LeBron could win the game that game seven. I wanted to die laughing when I was talking to you on FaceTime.
Did we not watch the series and Boston was hitting every bucket game one and two to open it? We get to game seven and they shooting the same butt naked, getting second chance shots and way off. When I say way off, like a fan ran out there and shot it and went back and grabbed his beer. I'm not listening to none of y'all. I'm a basketball player.
You're trying to tell me that these players who have worked their whole life,
who get paid millions of dollars to
do this job. You're telling me that they would say, you know what? You know, it's important that LeBron have this great legacy of going to the finals 8 years in a row. I'm going to let him beat me in this series so that he can continue to be whatever the NBA wants him to be. You really think that referee calls.
Listen, that's the control. That's the control.
So what about these missed shots? You said these missed shots they was missing. And
on top of the same players that had 20 a night.
Oh, my God.
Go home for game seven and have eight. Go from 20 average all series to eight. You falling for that? Okay, so where's the money's worth? We're paying this dude millions of dollars. This dude's on the hill looking at a pretty bird. Where is the bucket at? You paying him all this money for him to sit by jacuzzis with girls.
Stop hitting this goddamn table.
I'm sorry, but I'm getting frustrated. Where's the money's and the money's worth?
All I'm going to tell you is I was a professional athlete, and there's nothing a motherfucker could do. You know how much money you would have to pay me, the whole team? You know how many people would have to be in cahoots in order for this to get off a rigged
referee.
NBA?
Referees.
No, you're talking, but the referees can't control hitting and missing shots.
But they do control momentum in game.
No,
play.
They can make plays if a game is close and referee can't change a deciding game. But if it's not, if players are just flat out missing open shots, you would have to be telling me they're doing that on purpose. And I'm here to tell you a goddamn lie.
It's a guy sitting in the third row.
You crazy as hell.
It's a guy that winks. You crazy. That's sitting in the third row.
Oh, God.
That let them know you better start missing. If y'all check the third row. When you go to the game, check the third row. You ain't even checked the third row yet. But look, on some real talk, the NBA is rigged when you know who's going to the finals 3 years in a row. Now, hold up. If this team doesn't break up, do we say they're going to the finals again?
Whatever team LeBron is on, he's going to the finals.
No.
Doesn't matter.
If he goes to the West, he might not go playoffs. Hold up. No, I ain't gonna do him like that.
Look at you being disrespectful.
I'm being funny, not disrespectful. Listen.
That's why I want him to go to the West, because I want to see him go at the Warriors before the championship. You know, if you slay that dragon.
We ain't never
early.
Seen him play on the West, so we can't say how dominant he'll be if he go to any team. He don't have any team belt.
I'm telling you that he's LeBron James. And if he has help, he's the greatest player playing. And I'm gonna put my money on him getting to the finals.
You can't be speaking that high of him with the sweepstakes above his head. He just got swept. He fresh off the sweep, and you're talking like
But it's not because of him.
It
was because I said, you know what?
But LeBron could have got one game.
It'd be different. LeBron didn't want one game, it seemed like. LeBron seemed to me like he just kind of was like, I'm tired.
Right.
I'm off this. I'm not finna try to break my neck. This nigga JR don't even know the score. You know what I'm saying? Kevin Love getting
staged.
You fucking walk up to Kevin Love and tap him. He got a concussion. Like, you know, like Rodney Hood don't want to sub into games sometimes. Like, it's just a buffoonery. Like, it's just bullshit. Tristan Thompson want to fight. You know, like, it's just too much.
Beefing.
It's embarrassing.
Green is frustrating.
Yeah.
And you know, he could get under your skin. He looked irritating. He looked.
Clarkson and Hill are like tricky. You never know what you're going to get with them. And Clarkson, most nights is just all bad. So it's like, man, I would have fucking packed it up too.
I had high hopes
I would have packed it up too. I did too.
Coming from the Lakers, he was looking good. I thought he was going to be a big spark because he did that with the Lakers when they were sorry. So.
It's hard to play with LeBron. It's not as easy as it looks because, you know, there's a big light on you.
You're always looking for him, though.
The stage is big and it's hard, you know, and that's what Rodney Hood said. That's why I felt bad for him a little bit, because I felt like he was intimidated playing with LeBron. And he was just like, yeah, you know, when you play with him, it's a different kind of light and you got to perform every night with him. Like, you can't. And I'm like, yeah, nigga, welcome to the fucking NBA. When you're in Utah, you lose games. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. But when you lose, when you LeBron, you on ESPN and now niggas are analyzing your stats and why the fuck they lost.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was really doing that, like that type of press when he was in Utah. And that's a lot to handle. And it's okay. But just know that when we call you a bitch, nigga, that's why. Don't get mad.
They got to break this shit up. Everybody needs to start going to their own team and carrying their own weight.
It's not going to happen.
I know. Not soon. It's going to change back. It always moves back. The curl came back.
The curl.
And the afro came back.
The curl and the afro came back. Oh my God. It's time to get the fuck out of here. Listen, I want to thank you for joining me. RJ, tell them your social media if you want anybody to follow you.
I'm cool.
You cool? I knew he was going to say that. Anyways, this is Miko Grimes, episode 121, the iHeart Miko podcast. I thank you guys for joining me. Shout out Moosecat Studios for helping a bitch pull up real quick and get this done. I do not know if the video is going to work. We're having some technical difficulties. So if you get a video of this, you will be blessed. But you do have the audio. So I appreciate y'all and I love y'all. And we out of here. Peace. When I started out, I just took what they gave me. Did all the favors, they never repay me. It worked in my favor, cause nobody said. Brand new whip, got no keys. Tell them I close, no stash, please. Soon as I nut, you can.